Anybody filled with the Spirit? Anybody filled with the Spirit? It says, by His stripes I'm healed. I'm free. Yes, Jesus gave me the victory. We thank God for just allowing us to get out to the house of God. Amen. It looks like the children were already dismissed. If I'm incorrect, you can dismiss the children. Amen. We're going to greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
Amen. I mean, really have that testimony in a couple.
Amen.
All right, this is like half of y'all.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, have a testimony. We're more than a conqueror.
Amen.
We are an overcomer. Amen. So we truly we thank God for all that He's done. We thank God for just being such a merciful God. You know, as the praise team was singing, I was reminded of a cartoon clip that Deacon George sent me several months ago, and the cartoon clip said that full-time devils will defeat part-time saints every time. Full-time devils will defeat part-time saints every time. Amen. And my wife and I were talking, we're living in such a dangerous time spiritually where the devil is on an all-out assault on the people of God. And it's amazing how when people are going through their worst trial, they go away from God. Don't you know that God is faithful, the Bible says? God is faithful in your worst trial. That's when you come to God. Don't allow the devil or anyone else influence you to stay away from church and miss God. The devil uses people to try to hinder you in your spiritual walk. He uses loved ones. He uses family members to tell you, you can do something else. You ain't got to be in all this church. Amen. I don't know what the psalmist said. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits unto me? The devil can't talk me out of church. My mother and father, if they were alive and trying to, couldn't talk me out of church. My best friend couldn't talk me out of church. When I first got saved in RBI, there are a lot that tried to talk me out of church. Well, all I can say is God's been too good to me. Does anyone have a testimony God's been too good? Come on, if God has been too good to you, don't you let nobody keep you out of church. The old song said, don't let nobody turn you around. If you've been walking with God, don't let the devil in hell. Hallelujah. Don't you let nobody turn you around. Amen. So we just thank God today. Well, all that He's doing, and I was talking to Elder Carroll yesterday, we're living in a very dangerous time spiritually. And people are all caught up in trying to get possessions and houses and land, and that is important. But it's secondary to what's the most important thing is, and that's your relationship with God. Anytime they're passing laws that you can abort a baby one day before the birth, America, what does America come to? Amen. And because we don't pay attention to the political climate, we just keep using entertainment and other things that are blinding us to the fact that the devil is on an all-out assault on our people of God. As a matter of fact, Elder Carroway showed me something yesterday. It's in Congress, called the Homosexual Manifesto. And this was done back in the 70s. And all then written and made published in 87. Everything they put in their manifesto has come to pass. Amen. Everything that evil devil has put in that manifesto has come to pass. I wonder how many church people have a Christian manifesto. How many have some spiritual stuff that they plan for God? Are we just going with the flow? Amen. Sometimes you gotta break the flow. Even if it means loved ones want to appreciate you for what you are, break the flow.
Amen.
In the end, the only thing the old song says, only what you do for Christ that will last. In the end, it won't be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your best friend, or even anybody else. It's only what you do for Christ will last. Can we say hallelujah? So not everyone, but a lot of people are getting caught up on secondary issues And they're neglecting the most important thing God gave any of us, and it's our soul. Treasure your soul. Amen. Place a high value on your soul. Amen. If someone tries to enter your spiritual Christian soul, tell them you got to back up out of here. I heard Jesus tell Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You got to talk to the devil. Don't you let the devil push you around. Amen. We serve a God that's able. How many know we serve a God that's able? Then you need to let God help you. Amen. We're all experiencing difficulties, challenges, and hardships. But the greatest problem with any difficulty is when you leave God out. You have to incorporate God in everything you're in. And many times, things seem to get better. When you come to church, things seem to get better, even if you aren't saved. Then in the middle of it getting better, it gets worse. That's just a test. God want to know, do you love me more than these? Remember Peter fell the Lord 3 times? Then when the Lord resurrected, he asked Peter 3 times. He said, I got to correct your wrong. I got to help you fix what you messed up. So he fell the Lord when he denied the Lord 3 times. Then when the Lord 3 times he asked, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? It was giving Peter an opportunity to correct when he messed up. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So whatever you do today, don't mess up with God. Amen? Let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. Amen. And just a reminder of our theme for the year. In the beginning of the year, I didn't realize how impactful this would be. But it's an impactful theme. Especially when you look around in these pews and people aren't here. Now, listen, everybody got a lot of legitimate reasons why they're not in church. But if they're a college student, I guarantee tomorrow they'll be in college. You all with me? I guarantee if they have a job tomorrow, they'll be at that job. Because they say, well, I can't live without money. We can't live right without the Lord in our lives. So stop allowing secondary issues to push God out. Don't allow your problems in your mind to push God out. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So we're going to turn to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, and we're going to read verses 2 through 8 together. And I didn't realize it until after that I started really studying. It's still dealing with the same thought that we had last week, or the Lord won't forget about you. And God won't forsake you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that others may let you down? The psalmist said, even your mother and father may even forsake you. But if they let you down, guess what the Lord will do? He will lift you up. So it's so important today. Work on your spiritual relationship. If you work on your relationship between God, everything else will be all right. How do we know that? The Bible said, it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And if God is working in you, and if God is for you, who then can be against you? That's the only scripture that justifies anything. If God, I don't care if it's the boss may try to fight you, if God be for you.
Yes.
I don't care if you're dealing with the lending institution, and they say, well, we made a mistake, if God be for you. If you're going in the employment line, and they say, well, you're not qualified, if God be for you, who then can be against you? Can we say hallelujah? So Deuteronomy chapter 31, we know the first verse reads, and Moses was speaking unto the people, but verse 2 says, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I command you. Be Lord, if ever there was a time we ought to be strong, today is the time to be strong. There are challenges, but you still got to be strong. Be strong and of good courage. And
fear not.
The whole world has been covered with fear. But he said, listen, you're about to go into a new phase in your life. You're about to enter into a new spiritual realm. He said, be strong, be courageous, and somebody is about to make a step to go from the world to church. Somebody is getting ready to cross over from the world of the lost to the world of the saved. He said, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not, Lord, if anything, I thank you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of, Lord, what I got to say, I want everybody to hear. Hallelujah. I decided to run for Jesus a long time ago. And I can tell you right now, I'm not tired yet. Jesus took my heavy load. And now I'm on that order. I've been running for Jesus a long time. And I can guarantee you I'm not tired yet. I've seen many come and I've seen many go. But I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on his promises. Can we say hallelujah? He said in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with his people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, thank you. He it is that God, Moses told God at one time, he said, Lord, if you don't go with me, I won't go. He said, Lord, if you don't move with me, I won't move. He said, the Lord has sent you go with me, I'm going to stand right where I am. So right now, he said, if God's going to go with me, I'll go. I'll go through the wind. I'll go through the storm. Lord, I just want to make sure the Lord is going to go with me. Yeah. He said, Lord, now I'm done. mountain to go before me. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So this is a transitional period in Israel history. They are going to the promised land. They're going to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. They're going from hardships to blessing. He said, going from your hardship to your blessing, even though you're about to cross over, he said, you still need the Lord to go with you. I'm afraid a lot have crossed over from the hardship to the blessing, but they left the Lord on the other side. Amen. They need to bring the Lord with them. He said, not only is the Lord going to go with you, but he's going to go before you. Today, we're living in such a time spiritually where everybody's making all their plans and they forget the Lord, to take the Lord with them. If I go on vacation, Lord, I want to take you with me. If I got to get in the airplane, Lord, I want to take you with me. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray before I get on the plane, Lord, to make sure your anointing, your spirit is all over that plane and all over the pilots. When they say most of the pilots in it are flying, if they turn off the automatic pilot, they can't even fly a plane. So I don't want to depend on that pilot. I want them to be the co-pilot. But I want Jesus to be the main pilot. So before I get in a plane, Lord, take control. Before I get in a bus, public transportation, Lord, take control. I don't want to do anything and think I'm doing it all by myself. They also said, if I ever needed the Lord before, guess what? I sure do need him now. If ever and then I'll give you our message. How many many of us really want to depend on someone today? I got the word. How many of us really want to depend on somebody today? Amen. If you want to depend on somebody, there's no one you can depend on more than God. Nobody you can depend on more than God. There is no one in your life that will ever be more faithful than God. Amen. I know my wife and I are married. If I get up every morning and I get up, I walk out of the house, and the next time I talk to my wife is at night. How many know if you got a good relationship, you got a problem? Y'all ain't gonna say anything, but I know it's true. Right? Amen. You can't just talk, you walk by her. You ever walk in the house? I know when I was growing up, you walk in the house, you walk by your parents, and they say, did you speak to me today? Right? Because you know what? That is important. As with our human relationships, how much more is it important for our spiritual relationship? When I was about 11 years old, I became a member of Life Study Fellowship. They're still around today. And they taught us to pray three times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. And ever since I was 9 years old, I prayed faithfully and read my Bible. Was I saint? Absolutely not. Amen. I didn't know. I did what I knew to do, but I had a God conscience. And because I had a God conscience, even when I did wrong, God let me know I did wrong. You know why? Because from the time I was a child, I put God in me. My mother, you know, we were typical. It was three boys at that time. We were typical boys. And, you know, boys, they always like to say boys, all that other stuff, but we ain't that bad. But my mother, every once in a while, when she got a little frustrated, we knew what it meant when she said, line up on the couch. Jesus. It wasn't a whipping. It wasn't a physical whipping, it was a spiritual whipping. Right? Because she said, line up on the couch and don't say a word. And she picked out her Bible and she just started reading scriptures. Thank God that she did that. Because she instilled something in us. Amen. And I'll never forget the time when she started reading from the book of Revelations. Now, listen, I'm only a young kid. I don't know nothing about a revelation of the Bible. That book scared me so much when she was reading from Revelations. When she finished reading, I went and got my little pocket-sized Bible that I got when I was in the fourth grade and kept till I was in high school, and kept till I got see, I went and got my pocket-sized Bible. And I read the rest of Revelations. And from that time on, I couldn't be comfortable because I knew within my spirit, as a young person, I knew within my spirit that I was not pleasing God. I would go to sleep at night and I couldn't sleep at night. I never told anybody, I couldn't sleep at night just in trouble. Because God's word was in me. And I didn't realize it then. But Jeremiah said, when you get God's word in you, it'd be like fire shut up in your bone. So that's why you need to get God's word in you. Yeah, I know we got cosmopolitan, we got dismopolitan, and thatmopolitan, and ebony, and this, that, and jet. That don't save your soul. You got to get God's word down in you. The psalmist said, that word have I hid in my heart. Why? It is in your heart, amen. But let me finish this. So verse 6, he says, be strong and of what? Good courage. Fear not. The number one deterrent to anyone doing anything for God is fear. Fear that God's going to let them down, which he will never do. Fear that someone's going to be upset with them. Listen, don't fear. Be strong and very courageous. Nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is... He it is that what? Doth go with thee, he will not. Isn't that a blessing? God will not fail thee, neither will he. That's a double promise. God said, I won't fail you and I won't forsake you. Well, why do I need the Lord? He's the only one, I guarantee you. I love my wife, but guess what? I'm going to mess up somewhere. All of you love somebody and you have to go back and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. You know why you have to have a strong relationship with God? God will never tell you I'm sorry. Because God will never. Can we say never? Come on, tell me, say never. God will never mess up. So God never has to tell you I'm sorry. Down south, they used to say, God has a pencil. And both ends of his pencil have lead on it because he can write with both ends. Well, why don't Jesus. I was going to sing a new song. It ain't a new song, but there's some words to a song that says, telephone the glory. Oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by, for his, you can talk to Jesus, but that's just the chorus. That ain't the main, that ain't how the song starts off. It starts off as central. It's never busy. Central, never busy. He's always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. It's a royal phone that's free for all to you. When you get in trouble, use your royal telephone. Telephone the glory. Oh, thank you. Oh, my joy divine. I can feel the current. When I get in trouble, I don't want to get on my cell phone and call.
Even when I remember when I wanted to get saved, I had a reservation in my mind. I said,
well, what if I get saved and I mess up? They told me, well, if you mess up, don't worry. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Now, whosoever, listen, you go, lots of us don't plan to mess up. You hear me? I'm not saying plan to mess up. But he loved the world so much that all you have to do is what? Believe. Because when you believe, when I mess up, I'll come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy. Mercy says you deserve judgment, but God said, I forgive you. Amen. So he didn't say you have to know everything. He said, just believe. How many of us believe God today? If you believe God, then you should just surrender God your all. You should give God your everything. But Moses tells him, he said, God will not fail you. Fail means God won't let you down. In the middle of the battle, you ever been in some hard times, some hardships, and the people you count on the most, you know, you got some friends who say, you can call me anytime. And they know you're going through something really bad. If you keep calling, they should take call ID off phones. Amen? Those people say, listen, you can call me anytime. Then you're in trouble, you call them, and you look at the phone and say, call ID. I know they got some problems in their life. I ain't gonna answer this call. And you keep calling over and over and over again. That's like I did that to a person one time. They said, oh, did you call me? My phone must be messed up. I said, well, let me call you right here. We're standing here. I called while we were standing, the phone went right through. Well, that must have been a convenient mess up. Amen? You said your phone was messed up. And I don't know what happened. Then the conscience got to them about a week later, he called and said, well, I got to apologize. I was not honest. Jesus. Well, you tell me, I can call you anytime. And I'm not calling for nothing. Just a simple question. So people will let you down because you cannot depend on people. But confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. Listen, anybody ever have that broken tooth? Y'all with me? Amen. You ever have a broken tooth? Amen. When you have a broken tooth, don't that cause you a little bit of pain? Amen. Don't make, matter of fact, don't that cause you a whole lot of pain? Amen. I remember I was asleep one night, I don't know what happened to my tooth. In the middle of the night, I jumped up, my tooth was hurting, it hurt so bad, all I could do was crawl. It was a long time, I couldn't even walk, it hurt so bad. So, a broken tooth, I know this tooth, I said, you know what I did the next morning when it got daytime and offices were open? I went to the dentist. Listen, I couldn't even walk. I don't know, my wife was asleep, she don't even realize it happened. All I could do was crawl to the bathroom. Get some warm water and some salt, try to get that pain out of my mouth. That's why he said, if you have confidence in an unfaithful man, that's like that tooth that's hurting you, right? And not only is it like a broken tooth, but it's like a foot out of joint. Amen. Some people today, I pray for, they got, when you have a foot out of joint, guess where you go? Not too far. So our problem is we have a confidence in a person that cannot fulfill what God can fulfill. So why do we trust in a person that can't do what God can do when you know eventually they're going to be a broken tooth and a foot out of joint? So Moses said God will never be a broken tooth and he'll never be a foot out of joint. God will never fail you. Amen. And not only will God not fail you, the double lesson is he won't forsake you. Amen. You know, we live in a time now. I don't have a lot of money, but if somebody's in need and I can help them, I'm going to give them some money. Amen. We live in a time now. So, I work too hard for this money. You go get yourself some help yourself. I know y'all don't do that, but I've seen a lot of people do it. Amen. Matter of fact, I used to be like that till my wife broke me down a little bit. I used to pass all those people on the street that needed help. I don't know how they got there. And every time she would give them something. Then one time the Lord spoke to me. You know, when the Lord speaks to you, I'm going to listen. Amen. Amen. The Lord spoke to me. He said, if you just help them a little bit, how is it going to hurt you?
All right.
So now I almost beat her. I used to tell you, I said, you don't know what those people going to do with your money you're giving them. Right? But you know what? You don't lose your reward if you're doing it for God. The Bible calls that almsgiving. Now I'm not saying you see somebody on the street give them $1,000. I'm saying, but if you see what somebody in need a couple times, I was down in Georgia, and I saw this lady walking around. I was like, man, something's gonna be wrong with that lady. She's just walking all around, car to car. She did. And then she came to me. I was like, you walking to anybody else? With? You didn't go to nobody else. What you coming to me for? Right? We're in the gas station. You don't know me. I'm out of town. Remember? Huh? I guess the Lord said, right? So the lady walking around, she's like, you have no money? I said, no, I don't have no money.
What?
I didn't have no money for real. I didn't, because I don't ever carry money. So I stopped pumping the gas. I said, do you have like $5? I didn't have no money. The lady walked away, but as she walked away, she looked so dejected. I went and got the $5, and then after I left, I said, hey, come over here. This lady was so happy, I gave her $5. You know what that $5, how that $5 hurt me? Not at all.
Right.
But it made her day. I don't know what she did with it, but I did what God put on me to do.
Amen.
We need to become more soft and tenderhearted. We need to become more compassionate. We need to get out of our own little world. Well, if you would have did the right thing, you know, do you realize that the reason I help people is one time when I first got saved, I didn't have a job. I didn't even have a house. So guess what? Somebody let me live with them in church and gave me money. I didn't have anything. To get to work, I had to walk to work. And I used to walk from Troy to Waterford to the GE. Amen. Had to walk. And get off at midnight, and if I didn't get a ride, I had to walk home. So when God blessed me that someone helped me, I said, I'm never going to forget what God did for me. I promise some of us forgot that we went through some hard times if somebody had to help us. Some of us forget that when you were there was a time when you were down and out, and God laid it on somebody's heart to give you something. So now that you arrive, Mrs. and Mr. Big Stuff, you know what Mr. Big Stuff is? Yeah, I did this all by myself. God said, you didn't do anything. If it weren't for me, you still wouldn't have it. So you still need to give me some praise. You still need to give me a glory, and you still need to give me a hallelujah, because you didn't do it. He said, I did it so you would be able to help somebody else. And that's how the church is messing up. God didn't bless you with all that. Now listen, you do have to say, you have to put stuff aside. I'm not saying be foolish. But how can you see your brother in need and you don't help out? Amen?
Yeah.
I don't care. Listen, sometimes when I get money out, seriously, when I get money out, I give all I have. And my wife fusses me all the time because I don't carry a lot. Because if I don't carry a lot, I can't spend a lot. There's some science behind my madness. That's right. If I don't have it, and sometimes I'm going something so bad, I reach my pocket, and I don't have it, I say, well, keep mine. Right? Y'all put it all in your pocket. And then when you're on the bike, you spend it. I don't have to worry about spending mine because I don't take it with me. I leave it home. But I do put myself in a position. Yeah, I have cars too, but I don't like them either. But I do put myself in a position where I save. Ever since I was a kid, I used to save every penny, every nickel, every dime. And I just throw it in something. So sometimes when I get stuck, I have $20 or $30 in change so I can help somebody. And I used to keep it in my car until somebody figured out I kept it in my car. And then one time I went to help somebody, I couldn't even help myself. I had like $40 in change in my car. I tore that car apart. Could not, but nevertheless, let's get back to this. God will never fail you. God will never forsake you. He said, be not dismayed. Now, when he said dismayed is don't allow yourself to get depressed. Don't allow yourself to get oppressed. Don't allow yourself to feel as though you're all by yourself with no hope. You can trust as long as God is with you.
Amen.
Amen. Because God, you can always depend on. Who can we always depend on? I'll do my best, but I assure you, I will let you down because I am limited. But God never fails. God will never let you down. Amen. So we need to stop being so cowardice. That discouraged me. You have a cowardice spirit. Discouraged, when he says that despair that he talks about, that's a cowardice spirit. It means you don't have the mind to overcome hardships. Cowardice spirit. You know what I mean? You can't overcome that hardship because you are now into despair. And your despair won't release your mind to do what you know you ought to do. When Paul tells Timothy, the Lord has not given us the spirit of
fear.
He did not give us a despairing spirit, but of love, power, and a
sound mind.
God gave us a sound mind. So use your sound mind. And the sound mind is, wherever God leads me, I will follow. Whatever the Lord tells me to do, I will do. So I'd like to just put this out for you. How many times has God spoken to us and we missed it? Listen, how many times, I'm not talking about your best friend, anybody else told you what to do. I'm talking about God. God speaks to us every day, every single day, because he's always trying to align our lives with his will. How many times has God spoke to us and we missed it because we allowed other people's voice to be louder than the voice of God? How many times? Well, God said, why are you listening to them when I can help you? All right? So can I make a reference to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter? The 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, is about Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, they came and told Jehoshaphat, he said, there's a great host coming against you. And they were from Moab and Ammon. Now, by the way, Moab and Ammon were their relatives. Right? They were Lot's children. Amen. So they were relatives. He said, your own relatives are coming against you. They're coming to take you out of your possession. They're trying to come and take you out of the promised land that God gave you. Who is it? Your own relatives. Sometimes you have to watch relatives because they are single-minded, high-minded. They're only concerned about themselves. So Jehoshaphat, when he realized that there was a great host, they were Ammon, the Moabites, and those them on Mount Seir, there was a great, all he could explain, there were so many, they were a great host. So the Bible says that Jehoshaphat reverenced or feared God. So he went into the house of God and began to pray. And he repeated the prayer of Solomon. He said, Lord, you said, if ever we were in a time of discouragement, Lord, if we were ever in a time of distress, Lord, if we were ever in a time that we were down and in low and in the dark, you said, if we would come to this house and pray, that you would hear from heaven, that you would forgive our sin, and that you would heal our land. He said, Lord, right now I'm in trouble, so we are coming to you. So the Lord sent Jehoshaphat a message by Jehaziel. And Jehaziel said, you don't need to fight in this battle, because the battle is not yours, the battle is. When you have something too big, you need to pray to God. You need to give it to God. He said, the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord. So the scripture says,
call me. But one day my mother passed, and I couldn't call her no more. My father said, if you ever get in trouble, son, you can call me. And I do what I can to help you, I won't promise, but I'll try and help you. Then one day my father passed. So my mom couldn't help me no more, my father couldn't help me no more. So what am I gonna do when my mother and father was not there to help me? I went to Jesus. I went to the Lord, and the Lord picked me up.
Because we want to have a little talk with Jesus. God can help you. God will make a way for you. But you got to let him help you. We used to sing an old song, come to Jesus. He will help you. Come to Jesus, he will save you. Come to Jesus, he will deliver you. And unfortunately, too many people are going away from the Lord. If you come to God, as the elders and the ministers come forward, if you will come to God, God can help you. Those needless pains you're carrying, those needless burdens you're bearing, God can fix them for you. But you have to surrender. Stop being stubborn. Stubborn is you know what to do, but you won't do it. If you know what to do, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from saying, Lord, I'm tired of fighting my way? I'm tired of losing unnecessary battles. If I just trust God, he promised he'd never leave me, he'd never forsake me. That's the only one. I love my mother, and she didn't plan to leave, but all of us have an appointed time to pass. The Bible says, the appointed unto man wants to die. So all of us has an appointment with death. Someone that you're counting on or depending on has an appointment. And the only way that they can help you is if you go before they go. But if they go before you, guess what? You're going to be left alone. But God promised he'd never leave us alone, Elder Caroline.